Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Performance enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Oh, yeah. The best theme song in the history of podcasts is upon you. And so is the SOC MMA style UFC 251. Get yourself fired the hell up. Wow. This is a wild start to what should be a wild week. Fight Island, Abu Dhabi, Yaz Island, your boy BC, the SOC, all that good stuff. Why? Because Jorge Masvidal just slid in. I don't care if you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. It's all that and then some. Tall, pale, and handsome. It's your boy BC because we got Masvidal. We got Usman. How did we get here? We're going to break all that down and more. Don't forget the SOC has you covered from start to finish for UFC 251. Interview episode with your best bets later this week. Instant analysis after the fights. CBS Sports HQ all week. Myself, Rashad Evans, to break things down. And speaking of that great Hall of Famer.
That's me bringing that heat.
He's about to bring the heat. Yes, he is your former UFC light heavyweight champion. He is fresh off a near Joe Exotic-like weekend with the family. I peeped on Instagram. But Rashad Evans, let me bring you in. No pomp, no circumstances. It's Masvidal. It's Usman. BMF. Welterweight belt. This fight card just got even better. Your reaction, my friend.
My man, I'm electric behind it. You know, Kamaru's a good friend of mine, and I've been following it blow by blow. So it's been something to me that's been, you know, been very exciting just following along with it. And hey, this is the fight that we wanted. I mean, the Gilbert fight was a great storyline, and it was a great fight. But this is the fight that just pulls that. This is the fight. This is the fight.
Okay, in the immortal words of Jake Hager, Rashad.
You know what? I'm rock hard right now with emotion. I got a phoner.
I think we all right now. So, Rashad, here's the deal. It's like in the history of last-minute fights, you know, we've had some that have turned out, you know, just fine or that still had star power. I mean, look, UFC 200 wasn't the best fight ever, but shout out for Anderson Silva on like 3 days' notice going in there against DC. But have we ever had a situation where you had a main event that was going to be badass, Usman Burns in so many ways, teammates, differing styles, all that, but that got this much of an upgrade where in the last remaining hours, we got a fight that's even better, that has more star power. Look, for anything bad that we've rightfully said at times about Dana and the UFC on the build to getting to this point, you want to talk about hitting a home run. You want to talk about being the MVP of the damn quarantine. What UFC is giving us with a loaded card this Saturday and now a sexy-ass fight that kind of needed to happen. We needed to know after that 2019 if Jorge Masvidal was championship-level worthy, if he can complete this impossible dream of 17 years from the backyard to possibly be putting on the real UFC title. And we get that on 6 days' notice. The guy's got to fly to Vegas. They got to take 18 COVID tests. Now they're on a plane to Abu Dhabi. I mean, Rashad, it couldn't get any crazier. I guess it makes sense, given how unprecedented and crazy the last few months have been. But I am here right now to tell Dana, you are the boss, okay? You are.
I'm the boss. I'm the boss. It's my way and no other way.
We are getting on that highway with Dana. It is his way. Shout out. Shout out to Dana for this one. I mean, are you kidding me, Rashad? What a spoil of riches we get this Saturday.
Absolutely. I mean, think about this. You know, they had to work through the whole financial thing, and it was kind of ugly. It was getting kind of a public dispute, you know, and that's always ugly when things happen like that. But Jorge was standing his ground, and he lost the title shot because of it. But so has it, you know, fate has a way of bringing things back around, and he was ready to seize that opportunity. It may have not been a training situation that he wanted, because he did ramp things down when he wasn't going to get that fight about 5 weeks ago. But now, you know, just with this opportunity alone, it seems like he's just reinvigorated and has, you know, the edge that you would think that he would have going into this fight, just because of the fact that he doesn't like Kamaru, you know, and that hate for Kamaru is just driving everything else to the back. Even the 20 pounds that he has to cut is nothing to how much he hates Kamaru. So it's going to be a good fight.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's wild for Jorge, who had been kind of the poster boy along with John Jones for, you know, the whole narrative of fighter pay the last couple months. Will we see these stars without a live gate? Suddenly Fight Island became Abu Dhabi. Maybe there's large site fees. However it worked out, I'm not sure, and I'm not sure it even matters, but I'm not sure if this fight happening right now is Jorge winning the negotiation battle. Like, is he getting the price that he wanted all along by standing firm, or is UFC getting the price they wanted all along? And it took, unfortunately, Gilbert Burns, who's had an incredible run, great story, it took his illness for this to open up. I'm not even sure it matters, Rashad, because the news out of ESPN this morning is that Masvidal signed like a new 6-fight deal, and he claims he's getting most of what he wanted in terms of his fight, and that most is the pay-per-view upside, a higher pay-per-view upside, because he knows what he brings to the table as a salesman. He wants to be rewarded for the amount of buys they can potentially get. You got to be honest. No offense to Gilbert Burns. This is a major upgrade in terms of, let's grab those casual sports fans, let's grab those boxing fans. People know who Jorge Masvidal is. So he kind of comes out of here smelling pretty good in terms of that whole financial battle he went through, Rashad.
He really did. And just listening to him talk, you know, it sounded as if like, you know, the sticking point was the show money. He wanted the guaranteed money. The guaranteed money is what he wanted, but the UFC couldn't justify giving him a guarantee as large as he wanted. So they settled for somewhere in the higher range with the pay-per-view buys, considering if he can bring in a number. So that's good. It's a step in the right direction. I'm sure if he wins the belt, you know, in a couple fights, he'd be trying to renegotiate that and, you know, try to get what he says that he's worth. And that's all good too, but it's really good that they found a way to get it done, you know, and the UFC, they know that this is going to be a huge fight. This is the most anticipated fight. And with the sports world really quiet, you know, this really sets the stage to put the UFC in a position that other sports have not been in and may not get to with this whole COVID situation happening. So this is one that puts the UFC in just a harder to hit range when it comes to when it comes to just viewership.
Absolutely. Let's just a reminder, as I mentioned, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage this whole week. Interviews with Max Holloway and Rose Namajunas later this week. You're not going to want to miss those for sure. Rashad, let's hit quickly some of the logistic questions, if you're a fan, that come with this fight coming together on 6 days' notice. The fact that these guys have to fly last minute, first to Vegas, now to Abu Dhabi, take all those tests. For Jorge, I think the reaction, if you don't know better, is like, could he have gotten a legitimate camp? Is he physically ready for this, given that he's the one who pulled out of the negotiations twice on the lead up to this? What do you either know about this situation or perceive? Because if I got to guess, I'm thinking Masvidal's, you know, crazy like a fox. He's not going to take this fight if he doesn't have the 5-round stamina for it. Where do you think he'll be in terms of 100% Saturday night?
I think he'd be pretty good. I mean, the biggest thing for me is the weight cut. You know, he's been doing something that has really, you know, led to leaps and gains in his fight game, which is staying in shape and staying active. You know, as long as you're staying in shape, you're staying active, you make the gains in your technique, and you make the gains in your conditioning, that conditioning base that just making so that you can go 5 rounds even when you haven't been training to go 5 rounds, you know? So I think that he has a pretty good conditioning base, but the hard part for him is being able to cut that weight in a way that it allows him to fight somebody like Kamaru, who is able to take him down. He's going to have to get up and keep him off him. You know, that requires a different kind of energy facility to keep a guy off you. So that's going to be the big thing that Jorge has to watch out for. But for the most part, I mean, you know, he's charged up, and him being charged up and him being in a position where, you know, he really has nothing to lose coming in short notice. You know, he's going to go in there and fight fast, and he's going to go in there and try to make something exciting happen. And at the same time, Kamaru has to do a good job of not getting pulled into that whole space with him.
Absolutely. Let's look at the Kamaru Usman side of the last minute nature to hear. When you spend X amount of time preparing for your ex-teammate Gilbert Burns and you move your camp over to Colorado with the great Trevor Whitman, what does this do for him when you're switching opponents this short notice and arguably a tougher challenge in terms of the high-end knockout ability in Jorge Masvidal?
It's a bit tougher, but I would say it's a bit easier in a sense in the fact that, you know, the way their styles match up. You know, Gilbert was a harder matchup for Kamaru in many ways. For one, they know each other really well. For the other is the fact that, you know, he's really good at, you know, the ground aspect and the grappling aspect. So Kamaru would have had trouble once he got the guy onto the ground, and it wouldn't have been the area for him to rest. So he would have had to pretty much change up how he's going to fight from an economic standpoint with his energy. So he doesn't have to do that with a Jorge. Now he just has to be more careful as to, you know, keeping Jorge honest with his level changes and making him respect the shots early. If he gets Jorge to respect the shots early, then that will allow him to put his hands around his shots and then start landing more of the takedowns. Jorge has tremendous hands, tremendous boxing. He does a really good job of disguising his kicks and disguising his explosive movements. If Kamaru does a good job of drawing that reaction with the fakes and feint stops and goes, that will kind of break him. And especially if Jorge is tired and cutting weight for so much, he's not going to have the ability to stop and go, stop and go, stop and go. So that's the fight that Kamaru has to fight. And I think it's an easier fight for him just because of the fact that Masvidal is not the guy that's going to be able to get up over and over again and be able to fight that grappling match that Kamaru can present to him.
From the category of intangibles, really talking about the idea that, like, everything about this fight card is weird. You're fighting at odd times in the morning. You're landing in Abu Dhabi, and it's like, you know, according to tweets from journalists like John Morgan, it's like 97 degrees at midnight and feels like 115 when you wake up. That mixed with these two fighters didn't get on the original plane. They're flying out separately. They had to take 4 or 5 tests preparing for each other last minute. Does either one, given their personalities, given their scenario, maybe have an advantage intangible-wise entering this fight? Or do you really think, look, it's unprecedented for everybody?
I think if it was somebody would have an advantage as far as intangibles go, as far as just not having the stress and the weight of the world on it, it would have to be Jorge in this position because of the fact that he's coming in as, you know, this is all new to him. This is all a gift. But if you're Kamaru, now you've had to switch your original plan. Now you had to wait a little bit, and then you had that feeling that the fight might not happen, and then you had to stay behind, and then now you have to, you know, he's moved around a few different places since the news came, since Gilbert had to fight, and going up and down from an emotional standpoint when you're already at the emotional brink, because when you do an 8 to 10 week camp, you're just like, man, just please get me to the fight so I can get this done and over with. I want to get back to my life. I want to get back to my family, and all those things that you put into your mind that you want to do once it's over. And he almost had a feeling of having that, but now he's got to get his mind around fighting a new opponent and everything that comes with this whole thing. So it is definitely tougher for Kamaru, but I think the way that Kamaru's mindset's been lately, this is something that he can definitely manage.
Here's what's interesting about this fight. It's great. There's contrasting styles, which you love. When you get a title fight at the highest level, I love it. When it's, you know, guy A strong in one category, guy B strong in the opposite category, who's going to make who fight on their own terms, all that good stuff. But you know Kamaru well. I'm going to tell you one reason, Rashad, why I'm a little bit nervous for him, okay? Because if you would have asked me to predict this fight any day over the last year, I'm going to go, look, I love me some Jorge. Great story in 2019. The career turnaround, the confidence, the cardio, all that's great. But if Usman takes him down for like 3 rounds in a row, this is going to, you know, it's over, bro. Like that's what Usman does. He can take that balloon that is your soul and just squeeze all the air out of it. But every time I talk to Kamaru Usman or I see the higher level interviews with him, and I'm going to shout out a specific interview I did with him at the last UFC card before the quarantine. Remember, it was in Vegas. Ali had the big form, and I'm like, you know, look,
if you go in there against Jorge Masvidal, man, I mean, you're going to have such an inherent advantage on the ground. I mean, do you think they won't ever accept the fight because of this? And Kamaru got a little bit mad at me, and he's like, look, why does everybody think I don't have a stand-up game? Why does everybody think I'm not a well-rounded fighter? Like, I can't stand up with him. I'm a little nervous, and I think the last-minute nature only adds to this. Even with Kamaru working with a guy like Trevor Whitman, who has turned around and added wrinkles to so many great fighters' striking base, that it's one thing, Rashad, and it's an admirable thing, to go five rounds of boxing life and death with Colby in one of the better fights of the last few years that Kamaru did to defend his title in December. Great fight. But that's two wrestlers striking. Jorge's a different animal, and I'm not saying that Kamaru doesn't know that. I'm not saying that Kamaru isn't going to plan to work in takedowns, as you're saying, to gain that respect early. But I'm a little bit worried that the champ, out of that inner fight that gets him up every morning for respect, that inner growl that says, I'm one of the pound-for-pound best in this sport, give me my respect, that he's not thinking, I'm going to knock this guy out. And that's when you get in trouble against this new re-energized version of Jorge Masvidal.
You're absolutely right. And that's the thing that worries me too. You know, he can get pulled into a competition, you know, testing his ego, proving whose stand-up is better. And not saying that his stand-up might not be better, not saying that his stand-up might not be, you know, on par with it and stuff like that. But here's the reality of the situation. When you're looking at Jorge and you're looking at Kamaru's skill set, you know that Jorge's chances of winning on his feet is pretty much what's going to happen, you know, as far as, you know, if he's winning, it's going to be what he did on his feet. You know, he's not going to take Kamaru down and work a ground game or nothing like that. So you don't want him to go into that wheelhouse. You don't want Kamaru to go into that wheelhouse without at least making Jorge pay a toll. And by the toll, I mean make him physically exhausted to the point where he's back on his feet and he's changed. And here's the thing. He doesn't necessarily have to get him down to the ground, but if he puts him to the wall and get him to just expend some of that energy in his hands and I mean in his arms and keeping them off him and that whole clinch game, that takes a lot of power out of those punches. Your arms fill up with lactic acid and they feel like a balloon. And those quick snappy punches, they start to slow down, you know? And then even with the footwork and things like that, your feet start to drag. They don't pop off the mat as smooth as they used to once you start to get tired. So that's what Kamaru is going to have to do. He's going to have to fight this smart. Fight very, very smart, because Jorge Masvidal, he's a veteran, he's cagey, and he's been in there with almost everybody as far as stylistically speaking. So he has a library of knowledge to go back to and draw from different fights in order to neutralize a good grappler's position, a good wrestler's position.
Rashad, I went back and watched the three Masvidal fights from 2019, which made him the fighter of the year, the three explosive knockouts, right? Ben Askren, Nate Diaz, they were all sort of different in their own way. And we talk a lot about the new Jorge Masvidal, right? He took a year plus off. He did the reality show in Central America. He just basically woke up and said, look, I'm going to start baptizing people. I'm going to take my career and push it and find out how great I could be. Admiral, right? And since then, admirable, sorry. Since then, we've seen better cardio. We've seen better confidence. But what have you seen dynamics-wise, technique-wise, that make him different from the 2017-2018 version, which was still a great quote, always a knockout threat, street tough. But now we're talking about a potential champion, one of the pound-for-pound best in the sport, and that's who Masvidal is right now.
Well, he's always had great boxing, but I've been really watching the boxing of him as of lately, and the progression on his punches, meaning when he's throwing punches, he's throwing them in combinations, but he's just not standing in one place. He's making sure he's getting off at the next angle, the next place where he's going to mount his attack from. And that's one thing you don't see a lot of fighters do. You see good boxers do it, like Lomachenko. He gets to an angle, and then he starts, you know, picking a guy off at that angle. And I think that's what Jorge has been doing a lot of, just getting off at an angle and punching. But you know, he also is very good at using good explosive movements in very tight and small situations. And that's one thing that's very, very hard to stop, because if a guy can jump up and explode and he has a power as if he's running across a cage, then that's a very good skill that you're going to have to watch out for, especially if you're a fighter like Kamaru Usman and you're shooting in for a shot. So, you know, Kamaru's going to have to be very, very economical. And not only that, but he's going to have to make sure that Jorge's on his heels so he can't jump up and catch him with any kind of thing, anything springy like that.
Absolutely. And I mentioned earlier how this is the better fight. This is also the fight that needed to happen more than that, even though Gilbert Burns was plenty deserving and he catapulted ahead of Leon Edwards. He's on this impressive run. We needed to see this guy at this time to find out if Masvidal can win a championship, if he's of this level. And obviously if Usman beats him, that's another huge push up to his pound for pound resume, to his star value. So this is such a fantastic fight. Did you want to mention anything? I know you're close with Gilbert Burns. Obviously this is heartbreaking. How is he doing? I've seen some positive tweets and Instagram posts about, you know, about his faith and his family through this process, but no one's talking about this. That's devastating right before the fight of your life to have this happen.
Yeah, he's devastated. You know, this was his time. This is his moment. He was riding off the momentum that he, you know, he earned, and he was showing that, you know, he was definitely a contender and it was going to be a good fight. But, you know, he's a strong believer in God, and, you know, he's got a strong mentality too. So he knows that, you know, for whatever reason, it wasn't the time for it to happen now, but he knows that he's in prime position. So it's only just a door knock away, you know what I'm saying? And he knows that he's still in the top. So he's going to get his opportunity. Now it's just going to be when he's better for him. But I mean, he's gutted, no doubt about it. He's gutted, and he was ready for this fight. He was on point.
Absolutely. Look, we're going to take a quick pause for the cause. On the other side, though, Rashad, we're going to start with our picks. We're going to break down this card, main event up top. Can't wait. Can't wait to see who you are going to pick after this, with a little word from our friends and sponsors. Dig it.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Oh, we're back. SOC, BC, Sugar Rashad, we told you. CBS has you covered this entire week. Don't miss interviews with Max Holloway, Rose Namajunas. Can't wait to get those done later in this week. CBS on top right now.
Like CBS Sports. This isn't like, you know, Bloody Elbow or something. You know what I mean? CBS Sports fucking wrote it.
Damn right. Damn right. We will continue. All right, Rashad Evans, it is go time, okay? Stand on top of that hill. Declare which direction you and your family will serve here. Is it going to be Kamaru Usman? Is it going to be the BMF, or who wins on Saturday and why?
Man, as exciting as everything is and exciting as Jorge is talking, I'm sticking with Kamaru in this. And I'm sticking with Kamaru just for this main reason. I mean, he's did an 8 to 10 week camp and he's feeling amazing. He's gained a lot training over in Denver with Trevor Whitman and with his stand up and everything else, and learned how to just kind of mesh things together pretty well. And he's been, you know, getting better training alongside Gaethje, because Gaethje's a wild man, and those guys been going toe to toe, burning it out. If you're not gonna like imagine going with a guy like the highlight reel every single day in training practice. You know what kind of mentality that you're bringing inside of yourself. You're breeding a mentality. So that's the mentality that I think that Kamaru is going to go into this fight with. And then not for nothing, when you're away from home and you're doing your camp away from home, it just breeds a different mindset to you. I was always my toughest when I did my camps away from home, because it felt as if like I was fighting to protect the family. You know what I'm saying? And then when it was time for me to fight, I was so focused. I disconnected myself from my family life, and I was just dialed in. I was just an enraged fighter, you know? And I think that's where Kamaru is right now, but not for nothing. The wrestling advantage that Kamaru has, he is one of the toughest wrestlers in a game, because when he takes you down, he has the ability with his physical strength to make you pay, not only with punches, but from a physical and attrition side of getting back up and being able to fight again. So I don't think that Jorge is going to be able to withstand when it gets into the championship rounds.
It's going to be interesting. That's the big leagues. That's when you find out what people are made of.
Yeah, I know it's your first time involved in something like this. Welcome to the big leagues. After this, you'll be back to the undercard, believe me.
Thank you, Mike. All right. Here's the deal, though. I've almost been against Jorge Masvidal at each step of this journey. And is this a corrective pick for me to pick Jorge Masvidal right here? Because I'm the guy who respects the wrestling over what people can do on there. I'm like, look, if you got that game, you know, I mean, I fell for the Conor Habib thing, right? I've come to terms with that. I thought the magic of Conor was going to walk in and cancel that. But when people wrestle on this level, it's for real. I've been wrong about Jorge each step of the journey. And, you know, Chael has reminded us of something.
Never piss off a gangster.
And there is his own version of magic that Jorge has in this ability to, you know, pull a stoppage victory out of nowhere with the explosion. I do worry for Usman, whether it's a period of comfortability or whether it's a period where he will decide to exchange with Jorge, that, you know, Jorge showed us he can be losing fights and come back big with a big strike at the end. I just feel like there's this man, I always fall for this weird cosmic bullshit, Rashad, all right? I'm falling for it again. I think there's this divine hand on Jorge Masvidal's journey right now that got him into this fight last minute when it didn't seem it was possible, and that if anybody can go gangster at 6 in the morning in Abu Dhabi and find a way to do this, it might be this man. There's something different, obviously, about the 2019 version of Jorge Masvidal. We don't know if that works in 2020 in the quarantine, in the desert. But I'm gonna guess that he finishes this and he figures it out. That's a wild pick for me, knowing my sensibilities. But I'm drinking the juice. Okay. I'm sorry. That is.
Hey, somebody's got to drink the juice because he was pouring out a lot of it. You know, somebody had to drink it. I almost took a sip of myself, but I said, "Hold on a minute, man. That's my boy. He's going against. That's my boy. He's going against. No way."
All right, you know, boo me all you want.
Boo me. I'm getting money and championship belts.
Thank you. Me too. All right, Rashad, can't keep you here all day. This is a loaded card. I love this card. It's top heavy in the main card. 3 title fights, 2 female fights we need to see. But let's go through this. Your co-main event, Alexander Volkanovski, immediate rematch to Max Holloway. Of course, the immediate was paused with the quarantine, but this is the first fight for both of them since Volkanovski took a close unanimous decision late last year, played the city boxing chess game, surprised us all. But one thing Max said, Rashad, and this is why I'm interested to talk to him later today. We'll hear this interview later this week. Remember after he lost that fight, he was humble. He said, "Guys, I'm 28. I'll be back." There is something proven multiple times that's next level about Max Holloway. He's not just like an aggressive, fast-paced, almost brawling type fighter. No one handles distance better. He's smarter than we give him credit. He is and has built one of the better resumes of all time in the UFC. It's hard to beat guys on that level twice in a row, Rashad. It would be easier for me to be more confident in Volkanovski if Max was 34 and this was the end of the reign. So for Max Holloway to do this and win back his belt, how do you counteract that Volkanovski style?
I think that Max has taken the right step. I mean, just coming after the fight you mentioned that when he lost to Volkanovski, I think the biggest turning point for me as far as, you know, where he was going to go after that fight was, you know, him accepting the fight, him accepting what happened, him being like, you know what, I lost. The guy was better than me at night. Didn't make excuses. You know, didn't say this happened, just came straight out and owned it. When you own a loss like that, you're able to come out of it a lot better, and you're able to come out of it with the gains. So with all of that said, I think that Max is going to, you know, make the gains and has made the gains he needed to correct the mistakes that he made with Volkanovski. I felt as, you know, in the last fight, you know, he wasn't finishing last with his combination, and he got himself stalled out a bit a few times, you know, with Volkanovski. You know, Volkanovski was able just to chip away and keep on chipping away, and Max lost his flow, didn't get into the flow and didn't get into the pressure that we see Max is known for. You know, Volkanovski gave him a lot to think about, But I think that Max is going to be able to get back to his game, but get to more of angles at the end of his combinations, which he wasn't able to do last time. Last time he was finishing up combinations, he was finishing in front, but that had to do a lot with the fact that Volkanovski was interrupting at Max in his combinations, because Max has those long combinations that go on and go on, but Volkanovski interrupted him. But I think this time Max can get off at an angle.
Yeah, we got to give Volkanovski the credit. He straight up disarmed Max. He, you know, there was some Jedi mind trick going on. It was an alternative rhythm and in game plan that Max had trouble adjusting to. Although, let's give Max credit. He came back in certain parts of that fight. That's why some people thought he had done enough to win. That's why that unanimous decision was really close on the cards. I just don't know if Volkanovski can give him something different. Because if you give Max a second chance at that same style with his reach advantages, with his explosion, his gas tank, I'm not sure that if this fight is closer than the first one, which I think it will be, that Volkanovski can do enough to have a gap for the judges to give it to him. Because he has enough pop as a little man, Rashad, to keep Max honest. Does Volkanovski have the damage in him to give the judges an overwhelming reason to score him all of those rounds if they're close? That's where I worry. That's why, if I'm going on record here, and that's what we do, I like Max by a close decision. I think you almost flip-flop what we saw the first time around, but Max really dictating the things on his terms, forcing Volkanovski to pull out a plan B rather than the other way around.
Yeah, I think in this fight, Volkanovski is going to try to push some things because, you know, he's a bigger guy in his mind because he used to fight at a higher weight class, you know? So in his mind, he was able to take a lot of Max's shots. And I think in this fight, he's going to be like, man, I can take those shots. I'm gonna put more risk on there, and I'm going to go after Max a little bit more and, you know, try to unleash some of this power that he has, because Volkanovski, he does have some power from being a bigger guy, you know? So I think that he's going to try to implement some of that. And I think that's where he may find himself in a bit of trouble, because Max is going to come correct. And I think that Max is feeling himself more than anything right now.
And I have doubted him at a lot of his early, you know, that initial rise to the title, where I'm like, okay, I think I know how good Max Holloway is. Really good. But is he great? I think he continues to prove that, hot damn, he's great. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I rewatched the Aldo rematch recently, and Jose came in focused. He was ready to bang. Yeah. And, God, Max beat the ish out of him that fight. So shout out to Max Holloway. I think he wins back the crown. Speaking of Jose Aldo, the reinvention at bantamweight continues. Vacant title bout against the rising peyote, ayahuasca yan. Rashad, we've been past it. Who does he deserve this? Why is he here? The division might be too loaded. But they're going to give Jan a chance, if he can win this, to get a huge scalp on his resume. The longtime featherweight king who showed us in that first fight with Marlon Moraes, whether you thought that Jose Aldo won or lost, that physically he can handle the cut to 135. Can handle five rounds of it. I don't know. We might have to find that out. But is Peter Jan, or call him whatever you want, is he seasoned enough, though? If Aldo, you know, the problem I've had with Jose Aldo of late, I don't see him delivering game plans anymore. Remember, you know, the rematch at UFC 200 against Frankie Edgar, and he just, oh, it was like Mayweather. He just kept him at distance, and it was stick and move, and it was just like he had the game plan, the X's and O's down, and he's like, you can't stay with me on this chessboard. I'm seeing a Jose Aldo, maybe it's just age, who's seemingly a step behind. He's not taking the lead. He's not establishing the hard leg kicks. He's no longer being the alpha. He's being the reactor. I fear for him in this fight against a younger, arguably hungrier, stronger guy in his own division, if that'll catch up with Jose. Where are you at entering this?
I'm feeling the same way. I feel like Jose hasn't been the same since he stopped throwing those kicks. I mean, now he throws them very sporadic, and when they do, they hit. But when you think about vintage Jose and what made him so ferocious, you got to think of those leg kicks. You got to think of what he did to Uriah Faber's leg. You got to think about, you know, what he's able to do with those kicks. But now, since he's come back, he throws them, you know, few and far between, when before it was pretty much the staple of his game. But behind those kicks, so many things came behind it, because you were so afraid of the kicks, it allowed his hands and his Muay Thai style to just, you know, to do what it does. Now, going against a guy against like Jan, you know, he's going to have to use those leg kicks. He's going to have to go back to some of that old school style that he was known for, because it was brutal. And he's going to have to brutalize Jan in order to make him respect him, because Jan is so dynamic everywhere. I mean, there's not an area where this kid is weak at. You know, he's got great boxing combinations. He got great knowledge of where to put the punches. When he see the guys hurt, he has, you know, great awareness of dropping them to the body. He can even mix in some takedowns and wrestling and you know, even in some throws. So he's pretty dynamic on where he can take the fight. It's more like a new style versus old school style. And Jose, he has to work hard and not be in the box and not get too compartmentalized with any given one technique, meaning the fact that he just can't stay and, you know, in his Muay Thai stance and really not throw, you know, too many kicks or things like that. He has to open up a full mixed martial arts game if he's going to compete with Jan.
Yeah, the thing that Jose Aldo has become, and again, it could be an evolution that is natural with age, but he's become a little bit more of a kind of celebrity headhunter, guy who's looking for the big counter shot to knock you out. And it worked against Moicano. It worked against Jeremy Stephens. Can it work on this level against quicker bantamweights? I'm not sure. You know, I would fear for him in a fight like this against a younger guy that he'd be chasing the whole night, chasing for that one big strike and sort of be content punting rounds, landing a couple hard shots and thinking he won that round. You know, I mean, I think he left the reason why he didn't win that third round against Moraes in my eyes and why he lost that fight, even though it was close, was he kind of just gave up the second half of the round, was sort of content. Okay, I won this round. I landed some big shots, and Moraes just outworked him in the final 2.5 minutes in terms of what I thought. You know, I fear for that for him, although, again, the pedigree, the experience, the legend, and the fact that he's bringing knockout power down a division, he's in this fight at any point. Piotr Jan may have beaten Mr. Faber, but it is a step forward to beat somebody like Jose. This does have the potential to be a hella interesting fight, Rashad. And something we are not talking about enough, what the hell happens if Jose wins? I mean, this is a guy who, in some ways, like he's a legend. We all know he's a legend. But is he a upper table legend? I almost feel like Conor McGregor punched that out of him with that one shot, right? It's like... Jose's the bit, you know, he's got this great all-time featherweight resume, and we're all, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame in our eyes. He's a great one, but we don't talk about him anymore with Silva, GSP, John Jones, and those guys. This could be a mea culpa for that. This could be a, y'all must have forgot, okay? I was that guy, I still am that guy, and now I'm a champ, you know, two-division champ. I wouldn't be upset if it happened. I do love me some Jose Aldo.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think that shot with Conor just kind of, you know, knocked all the demystifying things that we ever thought about Jose Aldo out of our minds. And it sucks because it seems as if he's been fighting to win that back from us from since he lost it, even with himself. You know, he's struggled with himself on just an emotional level. And you can see it clearly in his fights and how he reacts after his fights, that it's something that still bothers him. And this fight right here can be rewriting all of that. So, you know, hats off to him, and I wish him the best. I just don't think he gets it done against Jan. I think that Jan just has too many weapons, and, you know, he has so many weapons, but he's just so eager to fight. This guy really, really, really wants to fight, and when you have that, like, you got to be able to meet that drive inside the cage. And I say this, like, becoming a champion and being a champion, you have to change your mindset to – think as if like you're the guy who's trying to be champion, you know, and Jan has that mindset like he's chasing. Now it's a matter, does Jose have that mindset like he's chasing as well?
That's why I'm picking Jan by decision. I think Jose has toughness and pride to go the distance here. Maybe I'm giving him too much respect there. I mean, Peter Jan is a finisher. He goes after you, but I fear that, look, I'm going to say it. I felt Jose Aldo kind of gave up against Volkanovski. He didn't quit, but he's like, I can't figure this puzzle out. We're going the distance, bro. It is what it is. Like, it is what it is, all right? And it's not that he's not willing to go out in a shield. Both Holloway fights, he was like, let's bang. Let's do it. You know, this is how my best chance to win is to brawl you. I just feel like Jan's going to be too quick to beat him to the punch and be powerful as well, and we'll get a decision. Do we get a stoppage here, Rashad, in your eyes?
I think we may. I think that Jose is going to have the power advantage, and it's going to keep Jan at bay for a little bit. But I think just, you know, Jan is going to keep chipping away. And by the third round, we're going to see Jan get Jose up out of there, I think.
Wow. Oh, wow. Take that. Take the ghost from the legend. Wow. All right. Just a quick update on the odds from our folks at William Hill, our friends there for the title fights. For the main event, Kamaru Usman, a -303 favorite, Masvidal +230, and the co-main Volkanovski, a -240 favorite, Max Holloway +95. I would, Rashad, if I was near a betting window right now, I'd take plus money on Masvidal and Holloway right now. Are you kidding me? I mean, these are great fights. I love you're giving me plus money on Max Holloway here. And then, of course, in that vacant title bout, +190 underdog is Jose Aldo, -250 favorite, Peter Yan Peotre. Let's go down to this card quickly here. These two women's bouts are must-see. I mean, this Rose Namajunas, Jessica Andrade rematch, two former champions, is this is a main event, if you ask me. I mean, this is a great-ass fight. We all remember Rose losing her title last spring when she was dropped on her head, second-round slam finish for Andrade. But you know what I also remember in that fight, Rashad, is Rose looking the best she has ever looked in that first round, just absolutely painting Andrade with perfect boxing and footwork. Yes, she got caught. She didn't tuck her chin. It is what it is. She has a giant mental hill to climb here. And this has been a theory. This has been a narrative in Rose Namajunas' career, right? When she's mentally tough and she's dialed in, right? She was able to push off the trash talking of Joanna to knock her out and then win a great rematch over five rounds. She's been able to do this in the past, be present and say, look, it is a mental challenge. It's more mental than physical, but you know, I can put my blinders on and I can do this. So I don't want to downplay what she's got to do here, considering she was talking potential retirement after that loss to Andrade. But I also want to tell you this. I love Jessica Andrade. She's a bulldog. She's a knockout threat at all times. Rashad, I think she's a little bit overrated, okay? And I think when she walked into oncoming traffic against Wei Li and got sent to hell, it was like, what are we doing here? What are you doing here? I like Rose to win. I like her to win somewhat dominantly here. She may have to go five rounds, but I think, you know, for my favorite fighter in the world, I'll say it. I love me some Thug Rose. I think this is her time. She's the better fighter, and we learned that in the first round against Andrade last year. Head games will be what they be, and Andrade can end the fight at any time, but I'm going big on Rose in this fight. Rashad, talk me off the Trevor Whitman ledge here. Come on.
I can't do it. I'm jumping on the ledge with you because I see the same thing. I think that she's going to pick up right where she left off that first round. I mean, listen, what happened to her at that fight, it traumatized her and it made her stay away from the sport, even consider retiring and just not doing it anymore. And you know you take a bad shot when you think, like, when you get up and you think, man, why am I even doing this? So you can just imagine just the emotion that has taken her to get to this point to be like, you know what, I'm going to put myself through a whole camp. Not only that, I'm going to be, you know, doing this fight again. And when you're last week of fight camp and you know, it's week of the fight, that's when all the nerves come in. That's when all the bad replays of what happened in a fight. And that's what she's fighting against. But once she gets past the mental part of it and just realize that, you know, her skill, and no matter what happens, she's going to be okay if she trusts in her skill, then she's going to fly. She's going to soar. She's going to do all the things that she was doing when she was champion and was looking like she was going to be unbeaten for a long time. And I think she can return to that. Andrade, she is very tough, but Andrade, you know, she sometimes she looks like a world beater. And sometimes, like you said, against Wei Li, it looks like, you know, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? So, but then again, against Wei Li, I mean, Wei Li shown against a fight against Joanna that Wei Li was cut from a different cloth altogether. We just didn't know yet. We didn't know at the time, but now we do know. So I can give her a break in that respect, but at the same time, I don't think that she's going to match with Rose.
Now, Rose is also, don't forget, she pulled out of this fight a couple months back after revealing that two members of her family passed due to the COVID virus. So heavy heart indeed. That might be part of her focus, though. And the odds makers at William Hill, They like Rose minus 200 as a slight favorite, plus 160 for Andrade. Obviously, you can get value there for Andrade for the knockout power. But I'm going Rose. You're going Rose. It's going to be a great fight. I love everything about this fight. Rashad, let's close out this main card with a really interesting women's fight, considering that Amanda Ribas, who is fresh off an impressive win against Mackenzie Dern in that initial comeback fight from pregnancy for Dern, is a minus 909 favorite over Paige VanZant. There's a lot of, Paige VanZant about plus 550 here. You know, we could go down the road. Is this UFC cashing Paige VanZant out? It very, very may well be. You know, she talks about fighter pay. There's, I believe this might be the last fight of her deal. You know, for all we know, she could jump somewhere else for big money. But here's the deal. I don't want to crap on PVZ because here's this, Rashad, all right? Yeah, her husband, her boyfriend, Austin Van Der Zandt, has the worst tattoo of all time, that eyeball on his neck. Yeah, I've been down on PVZ for most of her career, but I think she does have an elite skill from the standpoint of plus striking in big moment. Remember the switch kick she hits to win? Mm-hmm. She'll hit you with a big strike. I would never predict her to win this fight over the distance. But is there any way that bettors are absurd here at minus 909 for a rising contender in Amanda Ribas? How do you look at this fight?
No, I think they're right on time. I mean, you have to look at not only the fact that Ribas has been active and she's, you know, on a surge lately and she's an absolute beast in herself, but listen to what Paige has been saying. You know, she's kind of lukewarm about even doing this. You know, she wants to fight, but at the same time, she's not burning the fight, you know, and she hasn't, and she's had some start and stops, and she's already looking to check her value elsewhere, not in the UFC, and seeing, you know, what she's worth. So, you know, she's not really, this is a fight that it's like whatever for her in a sense, you know what I mean? I feel as if like, she does want to have a good, strong showing, but not have a good, strong showing for the fact that she wants to stay in the UFC, because she knows that in the UFC, she's not going to get paid what she feels that she's worth. And I feel like that's probably the reason that kept her out as long as it has. You know, she's talking about she's still in the same contract she had when she first got into the UFC. So with that being said, you know, I think that the whole googly eyes about the UFC and them being the right fit for her, it is over with, you know. And I think now she's kind of looking to cash into, what it is to be PVZ and get some of those Bellator matchups where they, you know, will get her a matchup that's more favorable to her because they can build her more, you know.
Indeed on that. And he was 26 years old from Brazil, 9-1. Unbeaten in the UFC. Her only loss came in Brazil to Pollyanna Viana back in 2015. And her three wins are all strong. Emily Whitmer by submission, and then a dominant decision win over Dern. And then she beat Randa Marcos, who's always a tough out, in March. So she's on a good run right here. I would not be surprised, Rashad, if we are talking about Amanda Ribas in a title shot a few fights away. Tough out for PVC, but it is a must-see fight. Quickly, Rashad, any other fights on this card? I mentioned it's a top-heavy card from the standpoint that there's five great fights and three title fights on the main card. There really ain't nothing else on this card that I care about. Do I want to see Volkan Ozdemir in the preliminary main event against Jiří Prochazka, however badly I mispronounced that? Sure. Sure, Rashad, okay? I got some time for no time, okay? I ain't got much time for the rest of this card. You want to smarten me up at all? You interested in anybody else on here?
Nah, I was going to say no time myself. You know, being a former teammate of mine, I'm always interested to see where he goes. He's not able to come and train with us anymore. But, yeah, I just want to see where he's at. You know, he had a good year, and I just kind of want to see him return back to grace, you know, return back to what his birth in the UFC was like.
Yeah, he's on a two-fight win streak. I remember he had lost three in a row.
Yeah.
Anthony Smith, Dom Reyes, all elite fighters, came back, knocked out Latifi.
took a split decision from Alexander Rakic. And by the way, I thought he beat Dom Reyes. I thought that was a bunk scorecard for no time. But he's 30 years old. We've seen him knock people out in Fort Lauderdale bars in the past, Rashad. So we know he can end the fight at any point. Shout out to him. Shout out to all of you for checking us out. It's going to be a big week, guys. Great card this weekend. Hope you enjoy it. Check out CBS Sports HQ. Rashad and myself will be all over it this week, setting things up, previewing. We'll have a bonus pod later this week. Max Holloway, Rose Namajunas to be there. Rashad Evans, what are you most looking forward to this Saturday? You know, is it main event or bust? I mean,
it's main event for bust for me. I mean, I'm so emotionally drawn to this one. You know, I've been talking to Kamaru all camp, and you know, I've been feeling him, and it's been killing me that I can't be there with him during camp. So I'm all in the main event right now.
We're going to find out this week, and we'll have updates for you how this whole Abu Dhabi is going to, you know, I know UFC has already moved the fighter interviews I had scheduled because all the U.S. based fighters are trying to stay on that time frame, knowing that they're going to be fighting middle of the morning in Abu Dhabi, but prime time on the East Coast American time. So it's going to be an adjustment and a journey for all of them. And it's hot as hell in Abu Dhabi right now, Rashad. So this dream of Fight Island and the Icon on the beach, it wouldn't have worked anyway, bro.
Forget about it now.
Of the state-of-the-art air conditioning inside that arena. Follow Rashad at Sugar Rashad Evans on anywhere but TikTok, okay? You won't see not on Tinder. Don't, you know, you can't grind her. He would not grind anything, so he's a married man. Follow me at B Campbell CPS. We'll be back later this week. That's it. That's the damn show. Rashad, I think you got two words for people.
Hey, people, we out.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.